Breakfast in Gold. 6 to 9 a.m.
All right, exactly 7:25 is your time right here on RB2, your station of choice. And of course, in studio with us this morning, as I said earlier, we've got the good people of Nbefira joining us, specifically Mr. Leonard Mueng, who's joining us as the Principal Anti-Money Laundering Officer from Nbefira. Thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
Morning, sir.
Nbefira. Can I give Nbefira?
Nbefira.
Okay. Nbefira, what do you do at Nbefira?
At Nbefira, as you already stated, I'm the principal anti-money laundering and countering the finance of terrorism officer. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we do in the department, we're supposed to coordinate the activities of Nbefira as far as anti-money laundering is concerned. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be the central point of reference when it comes to anti-money laundering activities and also just sensitizing and encouraging the entities that we regulate to comply with the Financial Intelligence Act.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps maybe just to draw you back a little bit, to talk about Nbefira specifically, what you do, so that they understand why a place of function for your own department.
Nbefira has a mandate under the Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority Act of 2016. One of the objectives under that act is for us to reduce and help in the deterrence of financial crime.
Mm.
Moreover, that we are listed as a supervisory authority under the Financial Intelligence Act, the Amendment Act, under which we are supposed to help the non-bank financial institutions to comply with the act. Mm-hmm. I can get into details as to what is expected of us. Mm-hmm. as prescribed under Section 27.
Absolutely.
of that act later.
Mm.
On.
Mm. Okay, and I know specifically today we'll be zoning in a little bit on the anti-money laundering or the countering the financing of terrorism. I don't know, AMLCFT?
Yeah.
Yes, countering the financing of terrorism.
That's
I like that one.
Because
it is, security is a problem for most for most nations across the world, not just Africans, at least this time.
Yeah, that's right.
So what would you, if you were to just give a quick definition of that, what would you say it is?
Okay, let's start with money laundering before we get to anti-money laundering.
Okay.
So money laundering is any activity that seeks to legitimize the proceeds of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we are talking about a process that seeks to move funds from a predicate offense, which can be asset misappropriation or corruption.
Mm.
Out of that activity, you get funds which you want to now transfer elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that they appear as legitimate.
Mm.
So any activity that seeks to do that and also distance or disassociate the predicate offense from the funds is money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have financing of terrorism.
Mm.
I think it's self-explanatory. It's the use of funds, which in this case may as well be legitimate funds that have been acquired through legal means. You use those funds to finance any acts of terror and maybe assist in the acquisition of weapons of mass destruction or those kind of other unwelcome arms of war.
Mm, absolutely. And you've spoken about the Financial Intelligence Act. I don't know whether you are at liberty to also say what sort of obligations are under the Nbefira Act of 2016 and under the Financial Intelligence Act, and then go on to tell us a little bit about the difference between Nbefira and the FIA or the Financial Intelligence Act.
Okay. As I stated earlier on, The Section 4 of the NBFIRA Act of 2016 lists the reduction and deterrence of financial crime as one of our principal objectives. Mm-hmm. Moreover, that the Financial Intelligence Act, the Amendment Act, lists NBFIRA as a supervisory authority under the second schedule of that act, which means that there are certain obligations that accrue to NBFIRA mm-hmm. as a supervisory authority. So those objectives or those obligations to regulate and to supervise the non-banking financial institutions for compliance with the FIRA Act. Mm-hmm. And then we are also obliged and encouraged to issue instructions, guidelines, or recommendations to assist these non-bank financial institutions to comply with the FIRA Act. We can also develop standards or criteria applicable to the reporting of suspicious transactions mm-hmm. and then maintain statistics concerning compliance measures implemented by the non-banking financial institutions. Mm. Last but not least, we are supposed to conduct a risk-based supervision of anti-money laundering or combating the financing of terrorism and proliferation. Mm. So basically, in short, those are our obligations under the Financial Intelligence Act.
Those are two members of the public or to government?
Those are to NBFIRA as a supervisory authority. Yes.
Okay. And I know you've spoken before about, you know, would you say that we are financially intelligent enough to be able to say, well, this is something that is of concern for us to be able to report it to the NBFIRA, or should we solely rely that on you as the regulator to be able to source those out?
Okay. Thanks for your question. But before I answer your question, I think I should clarify that our primary mandate lies with the non-banking financial institutions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So the reason why we are here today, it's because your clientele, the listeners, the public, they are consumers of the non-bank financial institutions products. Mm. Hence, this public engagement. But as far as efficiency and whether we are intelligent enough to report a suspicious transaction
as members of the public,
yes. of the public, mm. I think something still needs to be done. I don't think we are at a stage where we can say that we are satisfied with the understanding of suspicious transactions. I think more needs to be done. As we are here today, we are. It's part of that process to help the public really understand what money laundering is, and help the public differentiate money laundering to other forms of financial crime.
Mm. I mean, we were just talking yesterday with THA about how some of us would be politicians. Yeah. Of tomorrow, and sometimes, you know, it can be heavy on your pockets to actually embark on a campaign. So when you have a business person or somebody who's allegedly a business person come to you and say, oh well, I can finance your campaign, it's very difficult for you to be able to distinguish whether the money is, you know, indeed from profitable proceeds, or it's, you know, there's something a little fishy with the money. They're just using it using you to clean it. So it's fairly difficult, I would say, because I think financial literacy alone on its own is a problem here to us, the public in general.
As you rightfully said, it's incumbent upon everybody, whoever you interact with, especially when you want to transact with people, you need to do your own due diligence. You need to assess whether that person is capable of having that amount of money, and just get a certain level of assurance that the money that they bring to you as capital or just helping you to find your business is of is not associated with any activities that are related to crime.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there's been a general feel from the public basically that there are some very stringent requirements by these various institutions and you know within your sector when we want to access the services that they supposedly provide us with. What would you like to say about that?
Yeah. I don't want to agree that they are quite stringent. Mm. I think they can be stringent when maybe you have other motives. But I think the stringent requirements that is in reference here is the KYC process. Every now and then when you go to a bank or a non-bank financial institutions, you are required to produce certain documents. And sometimes it's on a periodic basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why I say they're not stringent is that as long as you know that your funds are legitimate and you can actually prove where they're coming from, that shouldn't be a problem. When you conducting their due diligence or doing the KYC, these organizations will require you to show and produce evidence that the sources of those funds are legitimate, and they will just ask certain questions that's just to understand the kind of person you are and what kind of activity or transactional activity to expect of you.
Mm.
For instance, you will be asked a lot of questions. That's the kind of information you should be readily
exactly yeah.
Hey, you should readily have.
Mm.
Yeah. So you sort of set a guideline to these institutions as to what to ask us. Is that right? Because
yes.
I have a problem with a lot of these other things that they require of us. They make sense in the UK, but they don't make sense here for our lives here in Botswana. Because, I mean, for instance, they would ask you to have, you know, how what do your postal address. Okay, postal address, I can understand. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with where I live. You know, you understand.
Mm, yeah.
My post office is not the same place as my post box is not at my house.
Yeah.
I live somewhere else. The post box is somewhere else. So I don't know what... Sometimes it feels like, you know, it makes sense to the people that live in the Western world, but to us here, it's like, why do they even require that of me? Because it has nothing whatsoever to do with what I want to do here.
We usually issue guidance and instructions to help them to comply with the act. As you said, sometimes it may not make sense for certain information to be required, but sometimes it's not only for the purpose of KYC.
Mm.
Sometimes your postal address will be needed just so that correspondence can be sent to that address. For instance, if they need to communicate.
Prefer email. Yeah. But I do understand.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we need to understand why the reasons behind. I think it's always useful to just maybe seek clarification from them as to why they need that information.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of the way forward for the anti-money laundering and the countering the financing of terrorism, where are we with that going forward? What's the way forward for in the Mbefira sector?
Yes, I think you know, the anti-money laundering and the combating of terrorism is a process. So as such, a concerted effort is needed between all the stakeholders, the public, the law enforcement agencies, the consumers of financial products. So everybody has a role to play. So when you are asked to produce certain documents, please cooperate and just submit whatever information is needed, because everybody has a role to play. Like we said, it's not, it shouldn't be left to the government or the finance intelligence agency or NBFIRA to go with it. Because if we succeed on one hand and we fail on the other hand, then we won't go anywhere. It requires a collaborative effort.
Especially in our endeavor to find foreign investment. We were talking about how, you know, in Botswana, we are not even counted amongst the top 10 places where you can basically trust your investment. But I mean, generally, we obviously desire to get up there for people to look at Botswana and say, well, I would want I can trust Botswana enough to invest in. But obviously that comes with a lot of other challenges as well, because I mean, if somebody comes to me as a businessman from the DRC, for instance, how do I know where the funds are from? You know what I mean? It's very difficult. So I think it also needs a collaborative effort between the likes of you and your equivalent in other countries as well, so that we rest assured knowing that, you know, if Mbeferia, if I can go to Mbeferia and say, can you check so and so for me to see whether there are funds are, you know, clean, so to speak. I think, that would take us a long way. But your last words, how do they get hold of you again?
If you need to clarification on anything that's related to anti-money laundering or anything that's related to the regulation and supervision of the non-bank financial sector, you can contact Mbeferia on 3686100. And then you will be transferred to the relevant department to assist you.
Okay.
We are also on Facebook. Look out for Mbeferia on Facebook. We usually post very useful information in there. And you can also ask questions through Facebook. You will be duly assisted.
Okay. Thank you so very much for your time. It's been a great pleasure. Well, hopefully Botswana would take into consideration, you know, the factors that you've pointed out this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. All thank right. you so much.